Harris Serrano and her great-aunt Vida, once again an admiral on active duty, crossed paths in the Sector 5 transient officers' quarters, both en route to their new assignments. Harris, who had been fuming over the admiral's tirade at the family gathering, lost no time in tackling her about it.
I want to talk to you about Baron and Esme.
I don't want to talk to you about it. They're married now and it's an unholy mess.
You're wrong. I don't know if it's the rejuvenation or what, but you're acting like an idiot.
Commander!
I mean it. Admiral, I've had hero worship for you since before I went to the Academy, but not anymore. First, you kept me from getting the support I expected when the pescu threatened me, and now you've interfered to ruin a fine young officer, someone of proven ability and courage. I have to ask myself if Lepescu was the only traitor.
You! You dare!
Harris folded her arms, amazed at her own calm.
Yes, I dare. Do you think a Serrano is going to be intimidated by being yelled at? Do I seriously think you are a traitor? No, not really. But the way you're acting, it's a possibility that has to be considered. I realize admirals have to do things which aren't in the books, and which junior officers may not understand. But I also know that admirals go bad. Lepescu is only one example. We could both name others. I know admirals aren't perfect little gold statues up on the pinnacle of fleet rank. They, you, are human. And they make mistakes.
Which you think I made.
Which I know you made. So did I. Look, what I did at Patchcock was right, tactically. I don't regret a hair of it. Afterwards, I should have stayed for, demanded, a court-martial, whether or not any Serrano backed me up. I was wrong to resign and leave my crew to Lepescu's mercy. I was wrong to depend on family for support, to let that be my guide in what to do next. Later on, I was wrong to depend on a fleet record to judge people. It should have been obvious to me that Sirkin wasn't the problem, Ickland was. But the habit of trusting fleet, like the habit of trusting family, slowed my brain. My mistakes got people killed, people I cared about, and people I didn't even know. That's not a mistake I'm going to make again.
And just what habits do you think I'm trusting that lead to my mistakes?
I don't know how you think. You alone know the basis for your decisions. But when the decisions are wrong, anyone can see them.
And you still resent me for not coming to your aid?
Resentment is not the point. We're not talking about my putative resentment or anger. We're talking about your actions. Your failure to allow even my parents to make contact before or after my resignation had dire consequences. And you have twice taken after Esme Suiza, once when you believed rumors about her involvement in Brunn's capture, and now, because of some old fossilized rumor about her ancestors. Look at the facts, Admiral.
Vida moved her glare to the wall, where Harris was moderately surprised not to see the paint immediately scorch.
I am aware that my first displeasure with Lieutenant Suiza was unwarranted. I allowed myself to be distracted by other considerations. If this conversation were being held by strangers in a story, I would have to see that someone my age would be the senile old admiral who needs to make room at the top for the bright young officers. But I don't think I'm senile, whatever you think. I've taken the trouble to retest regularly, and my reflexes and cognitive markers are still where they should be. However, the tests are not designed to find areas where increasing age will change judgment on the basis of experience. Usually, that's considered an advantage.
Usually it is. Up to a point, anyway. But no one knows how the awareness of immortality will affect judgment, particularly risk-benefit analysis.
Immortality? Rejuvenation isn't... Oh, I never thought of it that way. Of course, if someone keeps getting rejuve, it would be.
Long-term planning. Very long-term. Valuable, too, up to a point. At least in my case, I think you are operating at a timescale beyond my understanding, and with disregard of the fallout.
I see. I suppose I may have. It's hard to recall exactly what I thought I was doing. Damage control for fleet and family. But you're right. I wasn't particularly concerned with what happened to your people.
What I see in many rejuvenants, civilian and military, is a kind of detachment from the present, and particularly from the unrejuvenated. They're ephemerals. They don't really matter unless they interfere in a plan, in which case they're expendable.
I don't think that's how I look at them. But I can see where it looks like that.
If it's the effect, what matters the intent?
You know the dangers in inferring intent from effect.
And also the dangers of not doing so. But this is idle fencing, and what I need to know is whether you will re-examine your bias against Suisa and recognize the asset she is to us now.
Ignore the long view?
No, but prioritize. We have an ongoing mutiny. We have external enemies. We need every good officer we have, and she is one.
Vida leaned back in her chair.
Was one. Harris, she's not on the list now. She thinks she was cashiered on my orders, and now she's disappeared. The last we know is that she boarded a free trader, the Tarakian Fortune. While that ship has a flight plan, it may or may not adhere to it.
You cashiered her?
No, she thinks I cashiered her. The orders were presented as from Admiral Serrano. She thinks I am that Admiral Serrano.
And you claim you're not.
I know that I'm not. Thanks to the wholesale idiocy of Hobart Consuline, we now have a confusion of Admiral Serrano. Between those of us who are put on the shelf and those who are promoted as a result, there are at least 5 and perhaps as many as 8. Could be even more. I had no reason to ask for a list before someone ordered Suisa out, and what with the mutiny and the chaos at headquarters, I haven't heard back from personnel. I'm assuming one of them, hearing about my quarrel with Suisa, decided to curry favor by dumping her.
Or someone forged the name, and it was believable because your quarrel was known. Damn. I was ready to be really angry with you for a very long time.
I know. If we hadn't been interrupted, if there'd been time to talk it over, Suisa could probably have convinced me to at least consider what she was talking about. I know, objectively, I know that she's not a social climbing sneak. I realize that my rage then makes no sense now, anyway. If treachery were actually heritable, I can't think of anyone I'd trust, including myself. That's why I got in touch with her family after she married Baron.
You did what?
I sent word to them about the marriage. I didn't know what she'd told them about the quarrel, so I mentioned it and said I was convinced whatever it was could be worked out.
And?
And? That's not their view at all.
What, that they're guilty of all those heinous things, or that it can be worked out?
Vida took a data cube out of the rack beside her desk and put it in the cube reader.
Take a look at this. Her family sent it.
Harris looked at a picture of a young woman in a brilliantly colored costume. Vida touched the controls and zoomed into the face.
That's the land bride. Look closely.
Esme Suisa?
Yes. And now I know what a land bride is.
Vida touched the controls again, and 2 fields came up. One clearly an old document, faded ink on some surface that had discolored, and one in crisp black print on white.
That's the land bride's charter on the right, one of the oldest surviving documents on Altiplano. Suisa's family provided the translation and typescript. You did know that our regulations, fleet regulations, prohibited relationships and marriages with Altiplano land brides, didn't you?
No.
Harris skimmed down the closely typed pages. The phrasing, even in translation, seemed archaic and stilted. And for the honor of the land and the land's health, she shall not be alienated from her own for any cause whatever.
Before I read this, I'd have assumed it was the Altiplano mutiny, and maybe it was. But the duties of the land bride are just not consistent with the duties of fleet personnel.
It's primitive.
I don't think primitive's quite right, though it is old. It's far more complex than I thought, based on a sophisticated, though to me very odd, theology. And it is a theology because they do seriously believe in the existence of one or more gods. I'm not entirely sure if the invocations imply multiples or not. They are, however, strict ageists, though they don't use the term.
Opposed to rejuvenation?
Yes, in any form, for any reason. Some of what they call the old believers were even opposed to regen tanks for bone fracture repair, and a few considered that no one should receive medical care past age 60 in their years, probably 70 standard. They're also committed to population control and consider free birthers to be immoral.
So, you don't think the Suizas are villains anymore?
I don't think Esme Suiza or her father are directly responsible for the massacre of our patrons. However, I do think there's a problem with her marrying Baron. Quite apart from what happened historically, she's sworn as a land bride to a religious duty that requires her to put the welfare of the land, the Suiza land, to be specific, above every other consideration.
But she wouldn't.
It's a conflict, Harris, however you look at it. Her oath to the regular space service, the oath she swore when she accepted a commission, requires her to put the welfare of the service ahead of everything else. It's clear to her family and to me that her land bride oath conflicts. Her family is being criticized for letting their land bride go off planet.
Why did she take it then?
The position passes from one land bride to another by direct appointment. Her great-grandmother had chosen her for some reason and didn't change the appointment even after she left to join Fleet. When her great-grandmother died, she became the land bride-elect automatically. And since she was in some disgrace with the Fleet at the time, she accepted it and went through the ritual.
Has she appointed a successor?
Her father thinks she'll appoint a cousin of hers, a younger woman. But to transfer the duties from a living land bride to another, they both have to be in the ceremony. Now she's disappeared. Tarakian and Sons are a respectable firm, and I'm sure she'll show up somewhere, but I don't know where.
Wait. I can see why being a land bride is in conflict with being a fleet officer, but not with being Baron's wife.
The regulations, remember?
Well, they could be changed, surely.
When we've beaten back the mutiny and made sure the Benignity doesn't come romping across the borders, nor the Bloodhorde pirates disrupt shipping, certainly. In the meantime, there's every chance that Fleet will annul the marriage, and Baron will get a black mark in his record. As for Suiza, she'd get one too, if she was still in the system, but she's not.
If she were no longer land bride?
If she yielded the job to this cousin, you mean. Then there'd be no bar for her marrying Baron, though if the marriage has been annulled, they'd have to do it again. As for rejoining Fleet, I'm not sure.
Vida held up her hand as if Harris had started to speak.
No, don't blame me. At the moment, I'm not inclined to put any barriers in her path. But you have to see that others would.
We need her. We need her now. Can't you find out who kicked her out?
While I'm in transit? If you'll kindly wait until I reach my own office with my own staff, then yes, I can find out. But not here.
It's not fair. Baron's going to worry. He could get careless.
He won't. And I don't expect Suiza to do anything stupid either. Nor you. I don't suppose they sent you back to your own ship.
No. I'm going to take the Indefatigable. She's in refitting, and the crew will probably be whatever they could scrape off the docks.
Then it's a good thing they'll have you for a captain.
That was dismissal, and Harris knew it. She left her Aunt Admiral alone and went to see if she could get a message to Esme or Baron, either one, to let them know Vida hadn't done it. But a mere commander in transit had no clout with communications.
The Serrano Legacy, Against the Odds, is continued on the next CD.